puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, folks, it's time for A Band in Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Bryce.
So what are we going to be discussing this week?
Well, during the last 2 weeks of June, I went on a couple of trips to northern Manitoba. This week, we're going to talk about the first of those trips in which I was marooned on an abandoned island in Hudson Bay.
What?
That island was part of a facility called Port Nelson.
Well, okay. So tell us a little bit about Port Nelson first.
Well, we talked about this abandoned site here on the series 6.5 years ago, way back in January of 2016. At one time, Port Nelson was envisioned as a seaport at the end of the Hudson Bay Railway. Its purpose was to provide a way for the grain from prairie farmers to be shipped to overseas markets as an alternative to sending it via Eastern Canada or to Vancouver.
I didn't know that. So Port Nelson, not present-day Churchill, is it?
No. When engineers began planning to build a seaport on Hudson Bay, they had two options to consider. They had the mouth of the Nelson River, and they had the mouth of the Churchill River a little further north. In the end, they chose the Nelson River. So construction of the Hudson Bay Railway followed a mostly straight line from the Paw to Hudson Bay. A lot of it was following the Nelson River in kind of a northeasterly direction. The idea being is that when that railway reached Hudson Bay, they would build a port. They would call it Port Nelson. There would be a town there. There would be a harbor facility. And that's where the grain shipments would take place. Construction began in 1912. And at one time, up to 700 construction workers were there at the site.
Wow.
Unfortunately, shortages of money, shortages of labor during the First World War caused the work to halt in 1917, before the Port Nelson had been completed. Well, what they left behind was a full construction camp, you know, with numerous buildings. They left an extensive narrow gauge railway that was on the north shore of the Nelson River. They left an 8-acre artificial island that they had constructed about a half a mile offshore in Hudson Bay. And to get out to that artificial island, they had constructed a 17-span steel bridge out to the island.
What? Oh, okay, so what happened after the war ended then?
Well, the assumption, I suppose, would be that they would simply resume construction. But for one reason or another, they did not. Through the 1920s, they went back and forth. The provincial government went out to have a look at it. The federal government vacillated. Finally, in the late 1920s, the federal government decided that they really didn't think the Port Nelson site was the best one. They determined that the harbor at the mouth of the Churchill River was superior. For one thing, for instance, it was deeper. It was much better for bringing in ocean-going ships for grain. So the result was they abandoned everything that had been done at Port Nelson to this point. They had spent millions of dollars. They just abandoned all of it, and they started a new construction at the site of today's Port of Churchill.
So obviously you've been kind of all over the province, but had you actually ever been to Port Nelson prior to this?
Yes, I was fortunate 5 years ago in 2017 to visit. But at that time, I only had a few hours to look around. So I wasn't able to check out a lot of what was left behind when Port Nelson was abandoned. I wanted to get over from the artificial island, which is where I was the first time, over to the mainland. That's where the construction camp was, and I wanted to see how much of that was left. But I also wanted to cross the Nelson River. Port Nelson is on the north side. I wanted to get over to the south side of the river. It's very wide at that point. It's like 3.5 miles wide, because on the south side, there were some small ships that had been used to construct Port Nelson that were supposedly beached up on the beach there that I wanted to go and check out.
So how exactly does one get up there these days?
Fortunately, there's a gentleman named Clint Sawchuk. He lives at Gillam, and he has a jet boat that he uses to take people down the river along the coast of Hudson Bay and then up to the historic fur trade post of York Factory on the Hayes River. And because he goes right past Port Nelson, I thought, well, that'd be perfect. We could get him to stop and have a look. Well, we arrived at Port Nelson's artificial island at about 6:30 in the morning. The idea, of course, is we had to be there at high tide so he could navigate over the big rocks that were there.
Okay.
And so the total boat trip took us about just a little under 2 hours. We spent the next few hours exploring this artificial island. And of course, I'd been there before, so I was really looking forward to getting to the mainland to check out those buildings. We had brought a canoe and it was strapped to the top of the jet boat. So the plan was that I was going to paddle the half mile to the land. You know, I'm an experienced canoeist, so I thought it would be a pretty easy paddle. However, when I finally got there, I had second thoughts. You know, there were some really big waves and the current was really strong and it just did not seem safe to paddle over to the land. So luckily, the conditions were favorable for my drone, so I hauled it out, I fired it up, I flew it over to the mainland, and I was able to take numerous photos and video of the of what I could see on the mainland. And what I can see is that in the 110 years or so since those buildings were built, the vast majority of them have fallen down. They're really in rough shape. There was a couple that were sort of semi-still, sort of half-standing. There was a water tower, for example, that was still upright. But, and I would at some point, maybe someday, get over there to actually spend more time. But it just wasn't feasible this year.
So had there been any changes to Port Nelson since your earlier visit?
Well, and you wouldn't think that much would change in 5 years, given that this thing has been there over 110 years. But very definitely, there were changes. You know, I took over 300 photos and videos to document the present condition of the site. And, you know, I can say, therefore, based on comparing my experiences 5 years ago, that there's, for example, numerous pieces of the wooden seawall that surrounds the artificial island. They've broken loose and floated away. One piece supposedly showed up recently in the harbor at Churchill. Somebody at Churchill told me they had this big wooden thing that suddenly floated into the harbor. What was it? Well, it was a piece of Port Nelson. It's really quite amazing to think, you know, that this construction has weathered the elements for over 100 years. And it's starting to break down really rapidly. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if much of Port Nelson is gone, you know, within a decade.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So you also mentioned earlier that you were marooned. What exactly happened?
Well, after being stymied in my plans to paddle to the mainland, I looked forward to crossing the Nelson River to see those ships that I said we thought were beached over there. But again, given the wave action that we were seeing, I didn't think it would be advisable to canoe over there. So luckily, Clint agreed to take me there in his large boat. I thought, you know, it'll have no trouble. It's used to this kind of wave action. Well, as it began to encounter that wave action, he gave the boat full power. And that's when we discovered a problem.
Oh, no.
Earlier in the day, when Clint had brought his boat close to the artificial island so we could get out, apparently small stones, because the ground there was very rocky, small stones had plugged an intake on the bottom of the boat that is necessary for the boat's jet engines. The stones prevented water from entering the engine. So although the engines developed their normal thrust, like they could still run at the full speed, they didn't produce any thrust. They barely moved the boat along, you know. And so as we tried to cross the Nelson River, the boat was barely moving, yet its engines were running at full blast. And, you know, so the result was we would be unable to head back up the Nelson River against that powerful current. So unless those stones could be removed somehow, we were basically stuck there at Port Nelson.
Yikes. Obviously, you emerged unscathed, so we're all happy about that. But tell us more a little bit about what happened after that sort of tense moment.
Well, it wasn't a tense moment. It was a tense many hours. You know, I did have a few minutes to photograph that beached ship on the south side of the Nelson River. So that was good. And I did that while Clint tried his best to fix the engine problem. Unfortunately, he concluded that the only way that he was going to be able to do that was to go under the boat to dislodge the stones. And of course, that's not something you want to do, you know, while the boat is floating. Because of course, you know, that water is cold. I mean, this is barely above zero. It would be dangerous to try to swim underneath a boat like that. So we concluded that the only safe way to do it would be to beach the boat, you know, to bring it right up on shore as high as you could go, wait until the tide went out, and then it would hopefully expose a little more of the underside of the boat, then climb underneath. You know, it would still be maybe a little wet, but at least it wouldn't be completely immersed, you know. And so although we had not intended to spend the night at Port Nelson, that's what we had to do. We started a campfire and interestingly enough, we started it in an old wheelbarrow that we found on the island. Probably one of the things that had been abandoned over 100 years ago. So it was an antique wheelbarrow. We started a fire in it using driftwood for fuel. and we cooked some burgers over a makeshift grill just as best we could.
Driftwood, you know, burgers.
It was, really roughing it. Meanwhile, Clint climbed under his boat and was able to chisel away at the stones over a while. But we wouldn't know if he'd been successful because, of course, he did this at low tide. And we wouldn't know if it was going to work until the tide came back up. So we climbed back aboard the beached boat and waited. And of course, you know, this was in the middle of the night now. Clint cautiously started up the engines. They fire up. Moment of truth came when he backed the boat slowly offshore to a short distance, and then he cracked open the throttle. And of course, fortunately, it leapt forward at full speed. It was fixed.
Phew.
So everything was back to normal. We finished our trip. We took a short visit to York Factory because some of the people with us had never been there. So we went there. Then we went back up the Nelson River. We navigated some really wild rapids downstream of the limestone generating station. We got back to our vehicles at about 7:30 in the evening, having been away a little over a day and a half.
Wow. So a little bit of an unplanned departure or detour for the trip, but it sounds like you had an adventure.
Well, I certainly understand if Clint Sawchuk is reluctant to ever go back to Port Nelson, you know, lest he have recurring problems with stones. But, you know, listeners who may be interested in a bucket list trip, you know, a trip of a lifetime, should check out his website at nelsonriveradventures.com. You know, although it seemed at one point like our trip would be a disaster, it all turned out well in the end. And I really would like to give a big shout out to Clint for taking us to Port Nelson, for bringing us back safe and sound, and frankly, for giving us memories that will last a lifetime.
Shout out to Clint at Nelson River Adventures. So can you give us a hint about what's in store next week?
Well, we're going to talk next week about the second of my trips in June, this time to a fly-in fishing camp on God's Lake, from which I hope to visit the first hydroelectric generating station built in northern Manitoba way back in 1935.
That sounds great. We're all looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Gordon.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
See ya.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.